You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
30 years since Aotearoa changed to a mixed member proportional system, or MMP. I spoke to PhD candidate in New Zealand politics at the University of Otago, Michael Swanson, about the impact that this change to MMP has had on politics in Aotearoa. I started off our interview asking about what MMP is and how it differs from our previous electoral system, First Past the Post. Here is that interview.
First Past the Post was effectively, think about the current system, it's just the electorates. So First Past the Post, you had the electorates across the country, and if you won a seat, you got into Parliament, and that was how you figured out who was in Parliament. MMP adds the new dimension of the party vote. So actually trying to balance out the people who have electorate seats with a bunch of people who represent the parties. And so that was the idea, was there to try and create a more proportional system, because previously you had elections where you could win less than 40% of the total vote and win more than half of the seats. The prime example is 1981 with Rob Muldoon. He won 38% of the vote but got more than half of the seats. So the idea was with MMP was to not only have those directly elected electorate seats, but also bring in that element of, actually, I like this party and these people that are going to stand for them, and try and balance it out that way so that the party that you voted for also got a significant representation in Parliament.
And in your opinion, what are some of the key impacts that MMP has had on Aotearoa's politics?
I think the biggest thing is the diversity side of things. As I've written about, women prior to MMP only made up 21% in 1993, so the election prior to MMP coming into force. As of the 2020 election, they made up a touch under 50%, and then with a couple of retirements in this previous cycle, got across the 50% mark. So now going from less than a quarter to half in 30 years is a big step forward. The other side is ethnic representation. So prior to MMP, only 8% of MPs were non-Pakeha. We're now up to 21% of Māori's, MPs being Māori, 9% Pacific, and 9% non-Pakeha. So it's a really big step forward in actually representing what the country looks like. Previously, it was heavily dominated by predominantly white males. So that's the biggest thing. I think the other thing is that we've had to become accustomed to a very different way of doing politics. Previously, you kind of, on the night, you knew who was going to be in government. Now what we do is we elect a parliament, and it's up to them to figure out what that governing arrangement will look like. So it's a big mindset change that's had to come along. Those would be the two biggest. The other one, of course, is that we still haven't had a new party into Parliament, and by that I mean a party that doesn't already have connections to representation in Parliament. So all of the parties that have come into Parliament during MMP have come out or come through existing members of Labor or National. So even people like Winston Peters came from National. Peter Dunn came from Labor. So you've got all of these different people popping up, creating new parties, but out of existing representation. So that's something that we still haven't quite got our heads around.
Coalitions or other sort of agreements between parties have become a pretty prominent part of politics since MMP was introduced, and we might see a coalition form this year based on current polling. So what type of coalition arrangements have we seen since MMP was implemented?
Yeah, there's probably been three really obvious signs, and there's slight differentiation between within them, but the three big ones, you've got the formal governing coalition. So the obvious one of that is, say, Labor and New Zealand First in 2017, where there was a written coalition agreement agreeing to what they were going to do, governing side by side. You've then got confidence and supply agreements. So that's where a major party will have the go-ahead from a minor party to actually do things, and they will vote on confidence, which is saying to the Governor-General that this The Prime Minister has our support to get legislation across the line, and they have supply as well, which is voting on the budget. So they will say we will side with this party on the budget. So the obvious one of that is National and ACT in 2008, where there was not a formal coalition, but ACT said we will support them to get legislation and the budget across the line. And then the third one is sort of support or cooperation agreement. So Labor and the Greens in 2020 is a really good example of that, where Labor didn't need the Greens in order to pass things, but to create that wider consensus and that wider support for what they were doing, they have a cooperation agreement with the Greens. So they're probably the three big ways that parties have found to govern.
And there have been some questions around the ability of ACT Party leader David Seymour and New Zealand First leader Winston Peters to be able to work together cooperatively if they are needed by National for a coalition government. What type of potential coalition arrangements could we see if National needs both those parties?
Yeah, there's probably a couple of ways this could go, and it really depends on polling. There's still that outside chance that National and ACT could cross the line and get 61 seats together and not necessarily need New Zealand First. So that's one way it could fall. The other way it could fall is like you've said, where National need both ACT and New Zealand First to get across the line. And that becomes a lot more complicated. Not impossible, but just complicated because of, as you mentioned, the relationship, particularly between Seymour and Peters. That could look a couple of different ways. It could be that National and New Zealand First have a coalition with ACT providing confidence and supply. David Seymour has backed down slightly with some of his comments around the supply component, because that's that budget side of things, to now sort of talking about sort of a more, being more cooperative in that space. He has been pretty clear, though, that he doesn't want to sit around the cabinet table. So the most likely, if New Zealand First is needed to govern, is that you'd probably see National try and govern with some kind of arm's length agreement between the two of them, sitting in between, which becomes really awkward. Not impossible to work through, but it's an awkward space for National to be in.
And on the other side of the political spectrum, we could have a potential coalition between Labor and the Greens, or even Te Pāti Māori, if they were able to get over 5%. What could that potentially look like? Could we see something similar to what happened in 2020?
Yeah, it's probably, it gets more complicated on that side, because at the moment on polling, Labor, the Greens and Te Pāti Māori would fall quite a bit short and probably either need New Zealand First or a big swing in their favour to try and get the three parties across the line. It's not outside the realms of possibility. It would be difficult for Labor to manage, mainly because they have taken quite a centrist position on a lot of things, things like tax reform, and both Te Pāti Māori and the Greens have gone quite a lot further in what they want to do. So Labor would have to tread a pretty fine line about what they would actually accept in that sort of arrangement. But current polling means that they are sitting quite a long way from that 61 seat mark, and it brings New Zealand First into the mix. And while both Labor and New Zealand First have said they wouldn't work together, never rule out anything in MMP come the 15th of October, when they actually need to sit down and think about how things are going to go for the future.
An independent panel is expected to deliver a report on a potential reform to the electoral system and some changes that they would recommend that the incoming government could choose to implement or not. But what could we expect come out of this review?
Yeah, they've got a whole bunch of big things, things like a complete rewrite of our electoral law to make it fit for the future. It's quite complicated and a lot of legal jargon at the moment, so trying to make it easy to understand. It also currently doesn't actually mention or recognise to Te Reti or Waitangi, so that would need to be a consideration. They're talking about changing in the party vote threshold, so it currently sits at 5%. They're recommending 3.5. Previous recommendations have been about 4%, so there's a big discussion there about what the threshold should look like. They talk about the length of the parliamentary term. It's currently 3 years. They recommend 4 years. Interestingly, at the last election, both Judith Collins and Jacinda Ardern agreed that they were supportive of 4 years. So it's not something that the big parties are entirely against, and it would be interesting to see what the discussion is if that is suggested. They also talk about lowering the voting age to 16, which is a big, big discussion, has been a big discussion this year. So that will likely be on the table as well. And they also talk quite extensively about political financing of parties. So how much people can donate to parties, when they can donate, and how much parties can spend. That alongside the use of state funding for parties and what that might look like in the future. So some pretty big issues that could spell a pretty significant change in our electoral system if it all comes to fruition.
When was the last time that we had a potential review of our electoral system that was this big?
So the last one, there's been two major sort of points in this. There was the 1986 Royal Commission, which actually led to the selection of MMP as our electoral system in 1993. So that was a really big one that sort of set the scene and laid the groundwork for MMP. The last big review was actually after the 2011 general election, where there was a referendum on some changes to MMP. And as a result triggered an automatic review by the Electoral Commission in 2012, which suggested a lot of similar things to what this current independent review is suggesting. Nothing really came to fruition out of that one. It sort of disappeared into the ether, and I really hope this one doesn't go in the same direction.
That was PhD candidate in New Zealand politics at the University of Otago, Michael Swanson, on MMP.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.